Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start at the NBA All-Star Game. We learned something important during Sunday's game that had nothing to do with the exciting new format. Giannis Antetokounmpo hasn't made nearly as much progress as we think. Listen, I love the new format. Hats off to Adam Silver and the NBA for embracing change and having the courage to implement a new strategy. Yesterday's fourth quarter was the highlight of NBA All-Star Weekend and made the dunk contest controversy absolutely irrelevant. Team LeBron's victory over Team Giannis was the most intense and exciting All-Star game since Pete Rose ran over Ray Fosse in the 1970 Major League Midsummer Classic. But lost in all the bluster and babbling about the hyper-competitive fourth quarter was what happened to the Greek Freak in that fourth quarter. The Freak got exposed again. Team Giannis entered the fourth quarter with a 9-point lead, leading 133-124. They needed to score 24 points to end the game. Team LeBron needed 33 points to end it. Team Giannis couldn't get to 157 points because their best player was once again rendered useless on the offensive end by elite defense. When the game turned serious, when the defenses refused to allow cheap dunks, the Greek Freak could not score. He couldn't crack the wall. Sunday's fourth quarter looked like a reenactment of last year's Eastern Conference Finals when the Toronto Raptors shut down Giannis with a defensive wall that wouldn't let him slash to the rim. Giannis posted a donut in Sunday's fourth quarter. He missed both shots he took. He failed to create offense for any of his teammates. Team Giannis coach Nick Nurse did not help matters. He foolishly left guard Trae Young on the sideline in the entire fourth quarter. Young was Sunday's best playmaker with 10 assists. But Nurse should have said Giannis, too, and played Utah big man Rudy Gobert. Young and Gobert had a magical connection going all game. That fourth quarter was painful to watch if you were rooting for Team Giannis or Giannis Antetokounmpo. Elite playoff intense defense is kryptonite for the Greek Freak. The Bucks have 28 games left in their regular season. Giannis is the favorite to win the MVP again. Giannis allegedly added tools to his offensive repertoire to prevent a repeat of last postseason. Those tools were missing on Sunday. You can say it's one game against a bunch of all-stars. Okay. But I say it's a troubling pattern. You can stop the Greek Freak. You can give him a 9-point lead, surround him with four all-stars, and beat him. You can't do that to Kawhi Leonard. You can't do that to LeBron James. Hell, you couldn't do it to Jimmy Butler. The Greek Freak needs another tweak. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NBA analysts Rick Bucher and Steven Jackson. Marcellus, get us rolling.
Yeah.
Did Giannis get exposed again?
Nope. I don't think he was exposed at all, man. I'm going to give you the mental dynamic of an all-star game, being up here as one of the all-stars that is at this table. You got to get into this game mentally, and as I said, you don't want to look like the guy who's trying too hard. So you got to raise your hands low. Not raise your hand high like, I want to be the MVP. I want to be the man. You got to kind of raise it low. And we always talk about what is the proper 50%. What is the proper jog for the optics? Look competitive, but, bro, don't you go too hard because we all great up here. So Giannis got caught up in his brand. And I think what Giannis didn't want to do is go full Giannis. In the fourth quarter, you do not want him to go from David Banner to an Incredible Hulk out there to flex because he only really has one gear. So Giannis in the fourth quarter only takes two shots. He's like, I know I can go full Giannis. I'm not. But what people didn't catch is that this team that was up eight, all of a sudden down two, and one thing happened. Giannis in their game plan was like, look, we're going to go after James Harden because you know they got a little issue from the MVP last year. We're going to pick Kemba over James Harden because my guy Kemba will pass the ball. They got a little trolling going on right now. And in that moment where Giannis is the brand and everyone's still thinking about last year in the playoffs, how he fell short, He passes the ball to Kemba, keeps passing to Kemba. Kemba missed 5 shots in a row, including 4 three-pointers. And all of a sudden, that 8-point lead went down to a 2-point deficit. And then everyone wants to blame Giannis because it's easy. It's low-hanging fruit. Giannis, it's your team.
Right.
Giannis didn't do anything. Giannis actually followed the game plan. And then conveniently, most people assume Giannis was the downfall when he wasn't.
Giannis got exposed. Or for those of us who have always said, this is what Giannis has missing in his game, we had it confirmed. That's what I loved about this All-Star game, is when you just put the stars out there, the best players versus the best players, and it comes down to the first one to 157, you find out real quick who the other players believe in and who can get it done in a one-on-one situation. That's why Giannis, that was the flaw in the team that Giannis picked. Right. He didn't have any go-to guys on the floor. There was no – that's why they were going to Joel Embiid simply because they were hoping that that size advantage was going to get there. That's why I disagree with you on your solution on having Trae Young and Rudy Gobert out there. They were going at Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry ended up on Anthony Davis. They would have sliced and diced Trae Young. He might have created something for you at the other end, but Rudy Gobert wouldn't have been enough to protect him at the other end. It was an inherent flaw in the team that Giannis picked. But ultimately, when you want to go win a game and you think of the MVP, it's a guy in the playoffs, in the last 7-8 seconds or the last minute, we need a bucket. Who are we going to go to? We're going to give it to our best player. The Milwaukee Bucks cannot do that. And that's why people continue to look at who does he have around him. And I think that's an abdication of what the responsibility of the best player on the team is. If you're the best player on that team, then when it comes to crunch time, you need to be the guy who's capable of going and getting it.
I don't think he got exposed. He couldn't shoot before the All-Star game. So what got exposed? The biggest thing about it was LeBron's team had all the closers. He had all the finishers on his team. People talk about how they was going at James and how nobody wanted to pick James. LeBron or Greek Freak. Mm. Well, if you look at the end of the game, James started off just like Kemba, missing shots. But at the end of the game, we know James is one of the best one-on-one scorers in this game. They gave him the ball.
Yeah.
Kawhi didn't get it. Kawhi was on fire. LeBron was on the same team. He didn't get it. They was going to James because everybody know we all out here great and we all have roles to play to win this game. And James is one of those closers. They had all the closers on the team. It was no way that Greek Freak team was going to win, even up 9, with 2 minutes left when you have no two-minute guys on your team.
How do you explain that James didn't take the reins, though? Because he was not as aggressive as I would have expected him to be in that – yes.
Well, when you got 3-4 other MVPs on your team and you got Kawhi coming out 7-for-7 from 3, you know, you got to defer a little bit. We're all great out here, so you got to defer. And if I don't have it going on, especially in the All-Star game, you make 2 or 3 shots, everybody start giving you the ball. Okay, you're going to win the MVP.
Only thing is I don't want to move away from Giannis.
Right.
Because one thing, and from my vantage point, couch, TV, haven't watched a lot of All-Star games, that was the most intense defense I've ever seen played in an NBA All-Star game.
He almost saved the game, too.
But both groups, to me, were playing really hard. Anytime I saw guys going after the officiating crew, the way they were, it mattered.
I love
it. That was heated. They wanted to play. And so, to me, the best players in the world are on the court. You're the reigning MVP. You're the prohibitive favorite to be the MVP this year. Your team has the best record. You can't get a bucket in this fourth quarter. The whole, your team, it's Team Giannis.
Yep.
And you can't get a bucket?
Well, I'm just like I was just telling you, I could use a lot of people examples and a lot of MVPs. A lot of people can make shots in the first 3 quarters. The last 2 minutes of a playoff game or a finals game, you got some of the best. I say this all the time, and I love this guy, Kyle Korver. You give him the ball the first 3 quarters, ice water.
Right.
Give it to him up with 45 seconds left in the fourth quarter to win a game. He won't hit it. Everybody can't make them shots. And like I said, Greek Freak couldn't have got exposed because he couldn't shoot before the game.
Okay, but let's not even go too exposed in the first place because, look, he got exposed last year in the playoffs. That's one time. That could be chance. You can't use the fourth quarter of an All-Star game as the coincidence that could go to a pattern if we see it again. Playoff basketball intensity. Regular season intensity.
Right.
All different.
Fourth quarter of an All-Star game when you were 9 hours ago at the Hennessy party, and y'all trying to say, oh, this is who he is. This is who he is. Man, stop. This dude has better numbers this year than he did in the MVP campaign last year. Whitlock, my dog. He's going against stacked teams in the regular season.
Regular season but, MVP. Remember that. Regular season
that's
MVP.
That's what I'm talking
okay,
about.
Okay.
And
but,
now
but,
we're saying he's exposed.
But he's supposed, exposed. But he's supposed to validate that by taking the Bucks. What are you guys talking about, by the way? Everybody's talking about the Bucks having the best record. Giannis is going to be the MVP again. And he's going to validate all that by taking the Bucks to the NBA Finals and winning a championship.
Right.
That is the narrative.
Yeah.
And what I saw on Sunday was a guy who's not ready to carry that. You're saying he still can't shoot. He's hitting threes now. Supposedly, he can shoot from range. The difficulty that he ran into and the difficulty that he's going to run into the playoffs is when it comes to the playoffs, it becomes like it did in that fourth quarter. The game is below the free throw line.
Rick.
Can you handle the ball?
Rick,
can you?
All-star game is never, ever something reflecting a playoff intensity.
No.
Never.
I'm not talking just intensity. I'm talking about where you're going to get a bucket. He needs to operate below the free throw line, not shooting a three from 40 feet.
But don't you think
feet.
In the playoffs he's going to have a game plan versus in the all-star game? You know what the game plan was? Go after James Harden. But whoever is James Harden's guarding, that's the game plan.
But he got better options in the All-Star game. So it's easy to defer to other players. You playing with other All-Stars. He's not trying to go out there and make every play on this team. He has to make every play on his team.
But he also has better spacing surrounded by a bunch of All-Stars. I'm sorry, man. Yesterday, in that All-Star game, that was more intense than regular season. I'm sorry.
Right.
I watched enough regular season. That fourth quarter was more intense. The defensive intensity, just the effort that was put into it, that's one thing.
Yep.
And I'm just sorry. With that group of all-stars, your ego kicks in. Your pride kicks in. Your Mamba mentality kicks in. And I'm just sorry. Kawhi Leonard can go get buckets at that time. LeBron James at 35 in year 17 can go get buckets. AD closed out the game, creating a foul and getting to the free throw line. Jimmy Butler, had he been in, he would have been able to go get buckets. There's guys that can go get you buckets at crunch time when the best of the best are playing their hardest, and that's what was happening in that fourth quarter. The Greek Freak to me, I'm sorry, if I'm the reigning MVP, headed to a second straight MVP, and I'm the best player, I can go get a bucket. That was like a 30-minute fourth quarter.
And
I'm going to get one bucket.
And it's one thing. It's one thing to get a bucket or not get a bucket. He couldn't get a shot. He couldn't get a clean look. I wanted to see at least once him do what Joel Embiid did to LeBron James. Give me the ball. Oh, I got a great defender on me. I'm going to shake you, and I'm going to get a look. Now, whether the ball goes down or not, the fact of the matter is you showed me that you have the wherewithal to get you a good look with the game on the line. Giannis could not. He was overpowered below the free throw line trying to get a look.
I'm just shocked that we're going to damn this guy.
Right.
When he's living in the spirit of the game, which is, hey, man, this is a glorified pickup game. What y'all doing? Oh, y'all want to go ahead?
Wait a minute.
He didn't go.
I know what kind of pickup game you played in.
He didn't go 0-for-11. Did he go 0-for-11?
You're going to go get it.
I'm going to get it.
In the Drew League.
I ain't getting it.
If you're seeing a bunch of guys that can pull, just your ego kicks in.
Yeah, yeah. And then your ego kicks in and realizes, oh, guess what? I got a regular season MVP. I'm after a bigger goal than winning the All-Star MVP.
And I'm the only guy out here that's taking a challenge on defense every play.
I give him that.
He wasn't switching. He wanted to guard LeBron, all that. You got to give him credit for that.
But that's the whole thing. That shows you.
My shot's not going. I'm going to do it another way.
No.
Right.
But that is where Giannis is in his comfort zone. Oh, you want me to D up? Oh, I'll give you all that. You want me to go get you a bucket? Who else
he's
got
Kimbe
here?
He's Kimbe Mutombo. Right.
Y'all stop that. Other guys are not as great as him. He's in the MVP conversation, front runner, and the defensive player of the year conversation.
Yes.
So he's like, look, I could defer one of these guys so I don't look like a ham. In All-Star games, you got to raise your hand low. You can't be like, I want to win
it. I blame Nick Nurse more than him. You were right on that. He had the wrong guys in that game.
I give you that.
He had the wrong guys
in
that game.
Yeah, but you know what?
He can't have two Toronto players in that game at the end to try to get buckets. Hey. I'm sorry.
No.
Those two
but
guys
PR
are not
wise, it. PR-wise with your team, you can't not have them out there.
Yeah.
Well, if it's about winning, which it should be.
He's trying to win
and it's
something.
And you're raising money for charities? It shouldn't be Kyle Lowry. Yeah, you took charges. But he's not hitting no shots either.
He's trying to win something bigger.
I got it. But those players, those players yesterday were into it. And wanted to win. And Nick Nurse just, there was no feel for the game. It was like, damn, this fourth quarter is taking a lot longer than I thought. Some of these guys are tired.
True.
You could have just pulled them just for rest purposes and tried somebody else, because early on, and I was like, man, they're having problems scoring. They need some kind of offensive jolt. And I just think they thought, we're going to hold on with this 9-point lead and we'll get some scrappy buckets. And it just didn't happen. And I'm sorry. Giannis, to me, my comfort of what he's going to do in the postseason just went down. Just
More Trae Young, more Jimmy Butler. Hey,
can we? It sounds like right now we over here throwing a bouquet of roses for how the All-Star game turned out. Don't forget how this ended. At the damn free throw line. This thing is
that's
not
what
fixed.
I said. That's
okay,
what I said.
Okay, we're getting into that next.
That's
we
not going, fixed.
We're coming to that next.
We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. And if you head to calm.com/sports40, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium membership. With Calm, you have access to nature scenes LeBron loves and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/sports40. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/sports40. That's calm.com/sports40.
Speak for Yourself is going to Vegas this Wednesday. We take the show on the road and come to you live from the MGM Grand Sportsbook. As we look ahead to the Deontay Wilder-Tyson Fury rematch, audience check-in is at 11 a.m. We'll have great guests and giveaways, so come and join the fun. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, Steven Jackson and Rick Bucher are back. Time now for a big story presented by Hyundai. All right, let's return to the All-Star game, which Team LeBron won in a 157-155 thriller over Team Giannis last night. The game was played in a brand-new format this year, and among the changes was the fourth quarter, where teams played an untimed period to a target score set after the third quarter. The result was an incredible turning the usually defenseless and uninspired game into an entertaining spectacle like we hadn't seen in years. All right, did the NBA permanently fix this All-Star game?
You like my tease before, huh? No, damn well. I'm sitting there like, this is a nice format. And I understand the NBA has a leg up. But based on the fact that you have a sport where you can play it in convenience, and then you go down to the corner, shoot. You watch the NBA All-Star game, you're like, that looks like that, good. You never conveniently see football players play that sport, so therefore they don't have a leg up. You never see hockey just conveniently played. It's a rough, violent sport. NBA has a leg up. And then they go out there and change the format, and they make it more interesting. I'm like, this is the false competitiveness I wanted to see all the time. Yes, the optics is fake. Come on, man. Ain't nobody going for real for
what?
Whatever, y'all play it. Okay, I'm just, respect how great they are and respect that that ain't them at their best. So I'm still loving it. They're selling me.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, yeah, I got an appointment at 8:30 and Anthony Davis is going to the free throw line at 8:30 and I'm sitting there like, how anticlimactic. All this, and we gonna get there, and he gonna go up there and burnt. First one, second one. Oh, let's run and rush him. The pageantry, the cotton candy, the corniness, the fact that it didn't end on a high lets me know that, hey, this is the best glue job you can do for something that's permanently broken, which is all All-Star games, even though the NBA All-Star is the best of the worst. Mm. So I give him credit for doing it, but let's be real. Nobody went home pumped up off of the high of a free throw.
I was off the free throw. No, I was excited about the game, but I agree with you. The game cannot end on a free throw. Uh-huh. It has to be.
Basketball games never end on free throws.
No, the All-Star game can't end on a free throw.
Why not?
Because it's not the regular game. You're not playing regular rules.
Thank you.
Games end on free throws.
Regular games. This is an All-Star game.
They're not playing regular rules.
They're not playing regular rules. So if it comes down to a foul, it should be a one-on-one for the bucket. Mm. It shouldn't be a free throw. Anybody can make a free throw.
Well, not anybody. Not anybody. Anybody can make free throws.
Everybody can make free
throws. You know what I mean? Everybody can make free throws. But I think it shouldn't end on a free throw. As great as the game was, as great as the changes was, I think at the end of the game with a foul like that, even if it's Kyle Lowry and Anthony Davis, let them go one-on-one from the top of the key for the bucket, for the game-winning bucket.
You guys are forgetting.
Big three rules.
This was an experiment.
True.
I was in the building. Like, no one knew what to expect. They didn't know that this was going to be any good. They didn't know that this was going to solve the problem.
Right.
And that, even when we got to the fourth quarter, because the first three quarters, they were I mean, a little more competitive.
They started off good now.
Yeah,
they did.
Well, but
they started off good.
But the end, the third was set up because now you split two quarters and let's see who's going to have the edge going into the fourth. Mm. But then the fourth, starting with Lowry taking a charge and everybody's like, what the hell? Mm. And then, like, now Giannis is going with LeBron one-on-one and blocking his baseline fade. And now LeBron wants to get him back at the end. And this thing just grew and grew and grew. So I get that you don't like that it ended on a free throw. Mm-hmm. But the other part of me was looking at it thinking, man, these dudes are going hard. And they did not expect to go hard. Like, I know where some cats were the night before.
Right.
They were not prepared to play that hard. And I'm thinking, somebody's going to break down. And the problem, if you take away the free throw, is that guys were just going to foul and foul and foul because they were not going to give up that last bucket. Mm. They were not going to give up that last bucket. Mm. And then you run into, we can never end this thing, and somebody's going to get hurt.
Well, sometimes a foul, if you're that good, a foul can't do nothing. I'm getting that bucket.
Look, let's don't pretend like NBA players, NFL players don't play games after leaving Hennessy parties. Other than All-Star games.
We used to go straight from the club to the game.
Let's don't kid ourselves. Hell yeah, did they fix something. This was awesome. I used to love the All-Star game back in the day with Magic and Isaiah, and they never played it at this level that they did in the fourth quarter. This was what people forget, man. We think that fans are all into stars. Fans are into great competition.
Yes.
Period. Right. That's what attracts fans. Great. Oh man. And let's say they were acting. It's a great acting job. It fooled me and it fooled a bunch of other people. And so all it is a TV show, and they pretended like they really care.
Yeah.
And that's infectious. And people are, oh man, the stakes actually matter. They want to win this money for these charities. You can actually hear the kids in the charities cheering and all that energy in the building. That was amazing. I hope they improve on it even next year, or if it just stays the same. But yeah, I think the NBA All-Star Game is now once again an event that is kind of must-see TV for me.
My bad, I didn't answer the question. No, they haven't permanently fixed it.
Thank you.
That's my issue, saying they permanently fixed it. I think they can keep this for the next 3-4 years. I don't know that it'll ever be as good as it was this year. You had because you had the whole, you had Kobe's presence. Mm. You had wanting to honor Kobe. You had wanting to win the first Kobe MVP of the All-Star game. And it was brand new. I think that was what made this so exciting. It was so organic.
You're going to roll a basketball. The
dynamic of winning each quarter had a lot to do with the competition of the game. I'm sorry. You got to talk about that. If all players know that coaches that teach winning quarters in NBA and NBA regular season games, they come out and play hard as hell the first quarter.
Yep. Micro goals.
The dynamic of winning every quarter made them play from the beginning of the game. I think that was the best part about it.
He made it digestible. That's real.
But Stack, you think you can roll a basketball out with the best basketball players in the world in a fourth quarter and say, hey, get to this score first, and they're going to be like, I really don't care.
Not at all.
They don't care. Yeah,
They going hard. They going hard.
What is the greatest attribute of all athletes? The ability to compartmentalize. We have a switch, and we're cognizant of that switch. We can turn it on.
All it takes is to get crossed over.
Okay.
Get a jump in your face. It's going.
James Harden got nutmegged and didn't even trip. He laughing. He like, all right, thank you for Trae Young. Let me just show you how. And James Harden is ultra, uber competitive. Doesn't matter. He knows he's going to go home and get right and get buckets next week. Here's the thing. Since Whitlock's my dog and he seems like he's championing this the most, you my man.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you to the crib, all right? So you're older than me, but my son right now falls victim to this. He collects monster trucks. And they break down sometimes. And I got this little case of crazy glue. And I put them back together. And he thinks they're all good. And guess what? It's still broken, but they roll. This is still broken. It's rolling. It suckered you. It suckers my son. But it ain't fixed. Because those guys are doing acting jobs. Just some are greater thespians than others. And you're going out there and saying, now, this is fixed because they did a better job of selling us. I'm sorry. It's too much fluff for me.
Where's the acting?
The acting, the fact that Giannis will go, you think Giannis is going to lose a game if he really was invested going just 0 for 2 in the fourth quarter?
Well, you got to think.
Okay, that's what. You think James Harden lets people just.
He had about 10 dunks in the first quarter.
Come on, when the game's on the line. You think James Harden lets people just go between his legs and like, oh, that's so cute.
That was early. That was early. Okay,
that's my point. It's all they picked their spots.
But the fourth quarter was real.
But these are the top 24 players.
Are you telling me
you think they picked their spots?
But what I push back on is your suggestion that the fourth quarter was not legit. Mm-mm. This is just about us. We want to win this damn game. We want to be the first one to 157. I don't think there was any acting in that. I think it was legit. I want to show you I'm better. LeBron and Giannis going back and forth at each other, that was about I want to show you I can stop you and I can score.
Look, there's two hards. I can go hard for me or go hard for y'all. And I know the difference. And look, in the Pro Bowls, I go hard for y'all. And look, the money's on the line. Stop. Mm-hmm. This nothing you're going to sell me today is going to be greater than what I already have or what I can accomplish later.
Well,
that's the problem for me.
James didn't let him throw the ball through his legs.
He didn't, but it happened.
And Trey does this during regular season games. Yeah. I've seen
true.
People make James look worse during regular season games, so it don't matter. I don't think they sold. I think, like you said, it's not completely fixed. I think the end of the game was wrong, but I think they're real close to having
it fixed. I'm going to tell you the other thing that you're underestimating, and I don't – I'm not this sort of sentimental, but, again, when you've – these guys have been blessed beyond belief, financially, athletically, and they spend that little weekend connecting with the kids from that charity, and they know it's important to the kids of that charity. And I'm just sorry, these guys are human beings. And it was important to those kids, and it became important for those guys. They didn't want to let those kids down in that fourth quarter. I really believe that.
Let me prove that wrong. And this is going to sound heartless, but let's be real. Those little end zone kids, I got tired of them. Because guess what? They kept putting the camera there, and then there's a showrunner saying, the kids know what's on the line. Guess what the kids are sitting there like, man, come on. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got that. We're locked. You know how the game goes, man.
But those kids are to the player's credit, I was out there. It was probably the night before the game. It was probably like 10% of the players. A lot of those guys was in resting. A lot of guys took the game serious.
Yeah, brought the
Sunday.
Party. Brought the party.
Sunday's game.
Right.
They probably went out Friday. But well, Sunday, Saturday night, they was at home resting for that game.
It's also the beauty of the new All-Star break. They got like four or five days now where they
all of them leaving All-Star and going
now.
On vacation
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They can get the party
Stop
on that.
Joined now by Fox NFL analyst LeVar Arrington and former Patriots offensive lineman Rich Ohrenberger. All right, let's move to Las Vegas, which apparently is what Raiders fans are hoping Tom Brady will do. A couple of weeks ago, reports surfaced that the team would pursue Tom Brady in free agency. And now, according to Larry Fitzgerald Sr., the father of the wide receiver, and a respected member of the media in Minneapolis, John Gruden and company are ready to offer Brady a deal worth $60 million over 2 years. If true, is this just a marketing ploy or is it sound football?
I lean sound football. Tom Brady, just the imagination of dressing him up with better weapons, a running game, whatever you want to think of their offense, and then some young talent on defense, what you will be able to do and what they were able to achieve this year with Derek Carr, despite Derek Carr having better numbers, not winning those necessary moments. So I say lean football. Then you think about the marketing, obviously. When you say Las Vegas Raiders, it's really almost sold that this is going to be attractive. 40 million plus tourists go through Las Vegas every single year. I was at a football game yesterday, XFL, LA Wildcats, more Raider fans there than not. And they're talking about the Las Vegas Raiders, not so much on the field, but just how it's going to be a spectacle to be in Las Vegas by locale and the brand of the Raiders. But then what I really land on is John Gruden, 10 years, $100 million. Who else has the cred, the equity? Who else has F you money to just say, I'm going to try this out for 2 years. And if not, I still have 6 years left of runway on a deal that says I am the one that can have the audacity to pull this in, whether it works or it doesn't.
I agree with you. I think it's sound football, too. I mean, on its face, Tom Brady is a better quarterback than Derek Carr. So if you have an opportunity to upgrade...
On whose face is this?
On mine.
Okay, on your
and,
face.
And so listen, I mean, on paper, everybody can look at it and show me the completion percentage of Derek Carr. And you can show me how many
what about Brady's birth certificate?
He piled up.
Is that factor in the evaluation?
Is that on your face, birth certificate?
I'll take age. I'll take 42 years of age because we know Gruden's track record. The only Super Bowl he won was with a veteran. Brad Johnson came to Tampa Bay, and they got it done. Mm. And so I look at, you know, a coach who is seemingly difficult to work with if you're a quarterback, being impressed with the mental capacity of a player like Brady. And this is a shoot-your-shot situation. Yeah. He's either going to finish his career with the Patriots, Tom Brady is, or if there is that much strife in-house in New England that he can't play another down for Bill Belichick, shoot your shot. Because you're going to get arguably the world's best quarterback who's ever walked the planet, and you may get him for one or potentially two more years, and you got a good offensive line. You got a good, good young running back in Josh Jacobs. Shoot your shot.
I think it's a media stunt. However, I think it's sound football. And I think it's by putting it out there that we're willing to pay an excess of $30 million per year to have his services. I don't know exactly what they would be using it for. It could be negotiation tactics against somebody internally with the team. It could be to feel out if this is really something that could possibly happen for them to be able to get Tom Brady. But again, you're looking at a recency or a win now effect. Even though he has that long-term contract with the major numbers on it, I still think that Mayock and Gruden are really pressing themselves to try to win games now. And if you're trying to win games now and you tried to do it with AB last year, I'm sure there may be a connection there. Maybe you try to bring AB back into the fold. But if it is truly a football sound move, it's because they're gauging and measuring what the possibilities are.
I'm going to go with you, LeVar, and say that it's marketing. Mm-hmm. But there could be a kernel of sound football in it in this regard. You may be forcing the Patriots' hands. You may be forcing them to pay more for Tom Brady than they want to, which could complicate things for New England. And if I were in the AFC, I would want things to be complicated and difficult for the New England Patriots. Do things that disrupt their game plan, their strategy. They've dominated that conference for so long. Do things to make them uncomfortable. But primarily, I think bringing Brady to the Raiders and Las Vegas, it would be marketing. I don't think you can ship him away. He has the most value for New England and Bill Belichick, in my view. You ship him to Las Vegas with John Gruden, a new offense, new system, at his age. I just don't see it working that well, other than a lot of people will go see Fat Elvis in Las Vegas, and they'll go see 42-year-old Tom Brady in Las Vegas.
And they'll also go out there and see a wedding, and potentially this is going to be the honeymoon phase still for John Gruden. You got to remember, he had a contract that we thought was absurd because it's going to allow you the latitude to do stuff sometimes deemed foolish, like this. This, if you don't believe in Tom Brady, he still could pull this off and laugh at you after the failures. And that's what it is. This is a guy who's shooting a shot because Tom Brady's always been in his fantasy as a quarterback. Mm. He finally gets to make that happen. And forget about the Patriots. I'm driving up the price for the LA Chargers. They're in my division, closer to home. I really want to do that. So I don't think this is absurd. I don't think this is marketing in priority. Las Vegas Raiders. I'm there. I'm not a Raider fan. I'm an anti-Raider fan. I have to see this spectacle. Not only the stadium, the amenities, but there's going to be real football in Las Vegas. I think it sells.
LeVar Arrington and Rich Ornberger are back with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. All right, take it away, homeboy.
Yes, sir. Let's move to the XFL, where we saw week two action kick off this weekend. No doubt week one had a huge success with a lot of buzz around the league's new rules and exciting style of play. But week two, we definitely saw some struggles by QBs, including New York Guardians' Matt McGloin, who went off about his team's performance at halftime. Check this out.
What does this team need to do on offense to get something going here?
We need to change the whole entire game plan at halftime.
Okay, what do you need to change about the game plan? What are you frustrated about?
There's just a lot going on right out now. It's embarrassing for us here as an offense, so a lot of things we want to fix and correct.
Wanted to ask you guys, how can the XFL improve its quarterback play?
Well, I think, to me, and I watched some this weekend, I think they need to de-emphasize the quarterback. This should be a league about the running back and the running game. I'd love to see rules that help the running game, because I think the style of play of the XFL should look different than the style of play of the NFL. Them out there trying to mimic NFL offenses is going to be a disaster because they don't have NFL quarterbacks. But I do think you could build some teams around running games that and a different style of play that would be exciting to watch.
I want to preface what I'm going to say, interesting, what you said. I'm not a fan of this level of criticism this early in the process. I think it's too much and it's too soon. Anybody who's been around football knows that, and Mike Florio should know that as well. That said, you got to have patience. It's only week two. Golly. First thing that triggers on a football team is defense. Like, we see color, hit color, y'all in trouble on offense. Oh, y'all trying to figure it out, call plays, huddle up. You supposed to be here? We're destroying you. And then what clicks last, even offensively, is the quarterback position, because he has to know what everything's going on, all 11 guys, including himself. And then the other 11 guys across who are trying to go in disguise and coverage and fronts and stunts. All of those things are happening, and in week two, we're going to come down on it. Now, it's interesting. I look at it. You need time to build the chemistry. You need time to go out there and let this all blossom. And everyone, and you said it too, Jason, I understand when we say these are not NFL quarterbacks. But guess what? These are also not NFL defensive linemen, not NFL linemen. The point is, it's a relative experience. They don't have to be NFL good. They have to be XFL good. And in a relative experience, you can dominate, and these guys are going to mature into their positions. You go to a restaurant. I went to the Wynn Hotel, grand opening. Amazing hotel, beautiful. Service suspect. You go to a new restaurant, amazing food, service suspect. Takes time to work those things out, and I think that's what's happening at the quarterback position.
Yeah, there's a lot to iron out. There's no question. I was actually a broadcaster on the call in the Alliance of American Football last spring, and the same issues were really prevalent throughout the season, and they didn't make it through a whole season. The offensive line play was poor. The quarterback play was poor, and that lasted the entire spring. It really didn't jump back up. And I think it's because, frankly, the quarterback position, it's at a dearth of talent at that level. You have a lot of the top talent out of the college football ranks being scooped up by these 32 NFL franchises, and they're taking three at a time. It's difficult to play quarterback. We know that. There's probably five elite quarterbacks walking the planet each year in the NFL, and then there's a bunch of guys who are in a tier below, and then there's a tier below that, and we're talking about starters in the NFL. So if you are going to have a better class of talent in the XFL at the most important position played, you need to pay these guys more. Colt McCoy earned over $3 million last season. He was a backup in Washington. Brian Hoyer made $5 million as a backup in Indy. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater's making a small fortune. Now, he's the best of the lot. But if you want to have better quarterback play in the XFL, you need to pay these guys and actually take a run at taking some of the top-level backups in the NFL and having them be XFL starters.
I take a different stance on it. I think these guys are NFL talents. And I think that when you look at what they bring to the table, they just have to be developed. So I think what looks like a curse is really a blessing in disguise, because you're talking about having the opportunity to show, here's what a quarterback looks like that's not an elite NFL quarterback. I remember that game, and we'll talk about this later in the show, but you put a guy like Mason Rudolph in the game, and he looks like an XFL quarterback. Like, he looked really bad.
Yeah, he did.
You put some of these backups in the game, and they look really bad. So all does this serve to me when I looked at it and I saw the question? I was like, we don't need to improve how the quarterbacks play. They need to prove that they can improve the quarterback. And then now you have a legitimacy of your league by saying, you know what? These are guys, maybe a numbers game. Maybe it was talent. Maybe it was just a lack of development, but we can make them better.
I just think, to me, I watched the XFL and I was like, man, I need Oliver Luck's email address because I want to send him some ideas. Again, to me, I go to this NBA All-Star weekend. They took a bold stance and did something different, and it worked. And too many people are afraid to be different than everybody else. The XFL should be different. Again, the NFL used to be about the running back. They drove ratings. They drove interest in the game. That's what I would build my brand around in the XFL, the running backs and running game. And then the other thing, and this is why I want Oliver Luck, I wish that they would put, if you own season tickets in the XFL, you should take your season ticket holders and let them vote at the end of the year on whether the coach gets fired or retained. Empower the fans so you build hardcore passion.
You know that kind of goes against what you conventionally think, though. You do know that, right?
XFL, you got to
do something. So if it's driven by Twitter, if you're going...
It's a different league. No, it's driven by season ticket holders.
You might want to spray some of that off.
Can we also give a little credit to Matt McGloin for kind of sparking this conversation? And I want to... just remind him, like, look, I saw through what he was doing at the halftime, being mic'd up, a little sensational, because there's upside. There's another league on top of me. Let me make it seem like I'm not the reason. It's the play calling and it's everything.
He's
that they're
a
putting
media
in.
Dude, too. He's been in media.
A lot of that savvy come out. Let's just be real. NFL got caught with their pants down when they mic'd up Sam Darnold, put him out there. He saw a ghost. And Sam Darnold died. This is why you don't mic up players all the time in all moments.
I think to y'all's point about Matt McGloin, trust me, he's being actually smart. He wants a job up here
on
the
TV show. Yes, he
does.
There you go.
Talking about football based off it. All right, Darnell, did anyone win the XFL Super 6 contest this weekend?
Yes, sir. We had a huge group of winners. And I want to say congratulations to the 900 fans who all walked away with some cash before the games kicked off next weekend. Be sure to download the Fox Sports Super 6 app. Play for free for your chance to win.
Joined again by LeVar Arrington and Rich Ohrenberger. Time now for the most fearless discussion of the day. All right, on Wednesday, the NFL lifted its ban on Cleveland Browns defensive end Myles Garrett, who was suspended indefinitely in the aftermath of an in-game melee between the Browns and the Steelers. Garrett snatched the helmet off of Pittsburgh quarterback Mason Rudolph and then clubbed him with it. On Friday, Garrett doubled down on his contention that Rudolph used a racial slur during the brawl, telling ESPN's Mina Kimes during a softball interview that Rudolph called him a stupid N-word. Garrett first made these allegations 1 week after the November 14th game. In his softball interview with Kimes, Garrett remarkably said his actions were indefensible and that he did not want to make this brawl about race. He did not want to make the brawl about race. There was one crime committed on November 14th. We all saw it. Garrett clubbed Rudolph with a helmet. Listening to Garrett rationalize his actions after he served his punishment is the equivalent of O.J. leaving the joint and saying Rod Goldman called him a racial slur. Myles Garrett is a clown of Jussie Smollett proportions. Rudolph called Garrett's claim 1,000% false and a bold-faced lie. Rudolph's agent labeled Garrett's claim defamatory and threatened legal action. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin issued a statement strongly backing his quarterback, saying, quote, "I support Mason Rudolph not only because I know him, but also because I was on that field immediately following the altercation with Myles Garrett and subsequently after the game. I interacted with a lot of people in the Cleveland Browns organization, players and coaches. If Mason said what Myles claimed, it would have come out during the many interactions I had with those in the Browns organization. In my conversations, I had a lot of expressions of sorrow for what happened." So we're supposed to believe that hearing the N-word caused Garrett to lose control of his emotions on the field, but he also remained calm enough not to shout or talk about it on the field. You know what's far more likely than that scenario? A black player on the field calling Garrett a stupid N-word. We love the word and we use it in a derogatory manner more than a term of endearment. We use it as a weapon of destruction, the same way Garrett is trying to kill Rudolph with it now. We heard Garrett the first time he rolled out this weak excuse. It's less credible the second time around. All right, Marcel, let's get us rolling here.
Yes.
Do you like Myles Garrett repeating his allegation against Mason Rudolph?
I do. I like him doubling down on this and tripling down if necessary because it's his truth. None of us were there. Unfortunately, no audio can exonerate or even indict someone in this situation, which is a little peculiar, which I think lends itself to Myles Garrett's case more than Mason Rudolph's, but I digress. Let's say this. My therapist always talks about How you are is not who you are. And I think that's very important to this situation. How you act in certain moments doesn't mean that's who you are all the time or properly defines you. Just like you can do something dumb and not be a dummy. Just did something dumb. So here's the thing that really strikes me when I look at this situation. I have reasonable doubt in terms of what Mason Rudolph and Coach Mike Tomlin are saying. And they're saying it so emphatically that I'm like, I have doubt. Rudolph's reasoning for trying to pull off Myles Garrett's helmet unsuccessfully, wrestling with him, punching him, kicking him in the manhood, was because he tackled me late. That's kind of petty. Okay, now let's fast forward to when it really went down. And I believe in a moment of excessive stupidity, which is really instigating a fight with Myles Garrett if you're Mason Rudolph. That's kind of stupid. And then chasing him without your helmet, which is just beyond stupid. It's absurd. That all of a sudden in that range of stupidity and absurdity, I'm not to believe that you went to a stupid, absurd place and used the N-word. I have doubt that you didn't use that word. So just using the circumstances against him, using the moment of irrational behavior against him, he did all those dumb things, all these crazy things, but he didn't do this one. Remember, Mason, even if you did, how you are is not who you are, brother.
Football players have a quick switch. And for all the arguments you made on behalf of Myles Garrett, they can be made against Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
The same way Mason Rudolph could have blurted something out offensively. And if he used hate speech, and I hope the evidence come out, he should be castigated. Because that's not appropriate. There's no room in it for our game. We all know that. But the same way you can defend Myles Garrett, you can use those same words. So in a moment, could I see him feeling, you know, attacked and defending himself or feeling like he needs to defend himself, swinging a helmet, and then afterwards realizing how egregious this all looked, and then in another moment having a poor reaction and telling a small lie, a fib, one that he didn't think was going to go public to the NFLPA, because remember, this story got out because it leaked. He didn't want it to get out.
Mm-hmm.
But now your back's against the wall. Sometimes a small lie turns into a big lie. Now, am I calling Myles Garrett a liar? No.
Because I am.
I'll never know the truth. I'll never know. We may never know the truth. So I can't call a man a liar. But I do know that feeling. And everybody knows that feeling. When you get caught in something, you have two paths. Either you go the path of the truth or you stick with the lie. And there may have been that crossroads in this situation, and that is a difficult crossroads to reach, and there is no backtracking now.
I don't like it on different levels. First thing I thought of when I saw it, this happened in November. Super Bowl's over, season's over. You did your penalty. You were penalized. You were found to be culpable of what took place. You were suspended. Now, I'm looking at it from this perspective, and this is just where I come from, and this is how I interpret things. If it truly happened the way he's saying it, then even with that taking place, I see a Myles Garrett apologizing for what took place, taking the high road, and moving on, because you know what? You've already served your penalty. You're going to go into your offseason, move on from it as a player and for your team, because you were considered or still are considered a leader on your team. Move on. Secondly, I feel like this exposes more about Myles Garrett and how he's wired versus anything else. Whenever you got to repeat yourself, sometimes that's an indictment of guilt to me. That's my interpretation of it. I can recall many times where I've found myself doing things I shouldn't have done, and I always repeated myself to try to justify that my actions were justified. So I don't think that it was appropriate or even well-timed to come back and hash over it again. Say it happened. Whatever happened, we do things on the football field. I hit him. I'm sorry for that because I shouldn't have done that, and I want to move on with my career.
Well, the timing was forced because the suspension was over, so it became newsworthy. Therefore, they come out and want to do the interview. Then you're forced to either go down two paths. give an excuse or give your reason. And I like how you said it. Like, we've all been there before. Like, I could take the high road or I could try and get out of this in the low road, and you just got to stay in a low road until you die.
But you didn't get out of it.
But here's the thing. His reasons, he's like, I'm not... Let's rewind.
And there is a third option, by the way. You don't have to address it, but go ahead.
Okay, true.
All right, go ahead.
After the game, Josina Anderson reported, after the game, now you can take her credibility into question if you want, but I'm just telling you facts of matter. She reported that something was said.
She predicted.
Well,
she predicted.
I can't go there either. I let you speak. I'm going to say what I heard. I'm going to see what I read. Point being, something was mentioned in that moment. Now, not to play it as a race card, he probably said, I'm going to keep this confidential till I get into a private setting, which he did. He never came out in an interview. But for you to say move on, I think it's convenient to be up here and say move on when Mason Rudolph is being called a racist and he's being called Jussie Smollett and more. So
But the reason why I'm going to say you move on from it, Marcellus,
yeah,
we don't have to be politically correct so much, right?
You mean there as are a
much
peer?
There are much more heinous things that are said during the course of four quarters of a game.
That context is different. That context is different. First of all, Myles Garrett never felt threatened. Let's stop with that. Only one person in this conversation felt threatened.
Who?
Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph started something and then felt
How does that justify him hitting him upside the head with the helmet?
I don't know how Myles Garrett felt threatened.
He didn't feel threatened. I hope
we can all agree there is one certifiable lie that's been told. When this dude says, I don't want to make it about race, that's a lie. There's no way you can say he called me, but I don't want to make it about race. That's a lie.
And
that's
the only way that he presented it.
I don't believe it. I don't think he's lying. You know why? I don't think that Jussie Smollett should have ruined it for all black males in this predicament and saying that they're not speaking the truth. Like, okay, Jussie did his thing.
But again, you're making it about, when you say when he called me the N-word, that is making it about race.
But that's the fact.
Own it.
To him.
But again, he's saying, I own it. I'm making this about race. Don't sit here and tell me, I don't want to make it about race, but he called me the N-word. No, you're making it about race. That's a lie.
Why? I think you're attaching, he said the N-word and I smacked him. He's saying the dude came at me first and then in the scrum somewhere the N-word was said. I backed off. I had two dudes pulling me off. Then he came at me again and I hit him with it. That's a different statement.
When you flip it over to the other side and you think of Mason Rudolph, I mean, now this is somebody who's vehemently denying that all of this has taken place. He has his head coach, a black man, having his back. I mean, this is career napalm. If he actually uttered those words, and there's a microphone, which there are many on an NFL field, caught him saying that, a video camera, lip readers can figure this out pretty quickly if there's a shot.
And why haven't they? That's my point.
So is it did it or did it not happen is the point that we've reached. And Myles Garrett says 100% it happened. And so either we believe him or we don't. Either way,
well, are you buying the NFL?
Do you think that it'll ever come out? What if it was said or not? Do you think it'll ever come out?
No. But Spygate tapes also didn't come out.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Why wouldn't the NFL either put the audio out, which would pick us up?
I'm gonna tell you why.
I'm gonna tell you why I think.
Yeah. This whole thing is very childish.
Now you were about to go down the road,
the
and that's
whole
why
thing
I
is very, very childish. Huh. And for those of you with kids, you've seen, I've been a kid when I've got caught cold busted and then came with a lie to justify my behavior. Mm. This is what children do. When I watched this dude's interview with Mina Khan, he looked and sounded like a child. There was no conviction behind what he says. And then what a child will say is like, Mommy, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to make it about this or that. Well, you just did. So either own up and be a man and you're making it about race and you think this dude disrespected you in a racial way and that's why you did it. But don't come to me, I'm saying this, but I really don't want to make it about race. This dude is a goofball who did something stupid, who's gotten in trouble in the NFL for playing rough with quarterbacks early in the year, and he came up with some bogus excuse and trying to defame this man.
But
and again, even if true,
first of
which
all,
I don't believe. Move on.
Any objective person can't bring all these circumstances together and say what happened in this moment. You can try and give me a character build, and it could be a character assassination against Mason Rudolph if you want to do that. That's a dangerous game. But two, if he comes off with conviction, that's going to convey that this is a guy who can't control his emotions. So him controlling his emotions all of a sudden now gets used against him because of what you already have in
but
your belief.
But if it's never going to come out, right? You just said, in your opinion, you don't
NFL.
Think it'll ever come out.
I don't think the NFL's going
We'll never out. Prove it. You already served your suspension.
I would say that if Mason Rudolph was Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, I could get trying to protect him. The NFL has no motive to try to protect Mason Rudolph.
Oh, really?
This dude, by play,
you don't
might
want
be
the,
out of
you
the
You don't
league.
Want the narrative of a racist league. Come on, man. There's a
Mason
reason.
Mason Rudolph doesn't prove that there's a racist league.
There is Look, one racist. Way where both
what?
Sides are,
After Kaepernick?
Are telling the truth. One, he said it, and Myles Garrett is telling the truth. Two, he didn't say it, and Myles Garrett is lying. Or three, Myles Garrett thought he heard something.
One of the other dude.
Thought he heard Mason right, Rudolph right. say something.
Jay-Z was playing on somebody's iPod. Who knows? Let's move to the NFL. Where most people have Joe Burrow locked in as the number one pick, but not everyone seems to agree. Friend of the show, Bucky Brooks, just ranked Burrow as the second best quarterback behind Tua Tagovailoa. Despite Tua's hip injury, the two guys are pretty closely matched, with Tua throwing more touchdowns and a slightly higher completion percentage. And while both guys have national titles, Burrow took home the Heisman this year with a record-breaking season. Any chance here buying that Tua is as good a prospect as Joe Burrow?
I'm buying that he's a better prospect.
Ooh.
And I really feel almost slighted, like, to be one of the guys who has to be a campaign manager for Tua and his body of work. Like, what are we doing here? All right, let's start here. In career passer efficiency in college football history, number one is Tua. Let's start here. The guy lost two games. And in those two games, one he threw for 400 yards and four touchdowns, and one he threw for 295 and two touchdowns. Wasn't necessarily on him. Let's go here. He played for three different offensive coordinators and became Tua by all three offensive coordinators. No potential, and I'm not trying to indict Joe Burrow, but no potential being a one-hit wonder. No potential if you got to be married to Joe Brady or else. And we saw a body of work from Joe Burrow. He was at LSU before last year, y'all. Did y'all watch? Anybody? Okay. My point is Tua throws the best ball, most accurate ball. Numbers support that. He's a winner. Tremendous personality, spirit, leadership abilities. I don't understand why this is a conversation. Everyone's caught up in the one hit, the one season. I'll take Tua.
I love everything you said. I completely agree. I think he's a better prospect. You are now debating the elite coming out of college, and so I think this is a close second situation with Burrow behind Tagovailoa, but I love his pedigree. Nick Saban, he's a hard coach. You don't have guys in the NFL sparing your feelings. You better be ready to get some real criticism, especially if you're the quarterback of a franchise. And so I think that bodes well moving on to the next level. Alabama guys, they're almost allergic to losing. So I appreciate that pedigree as well. And yeah, leadership. The fact that he was able to keep that locker room together through the transition during the national championship game from Hurts to Tagovailoa. It speaks not only to the maturity that Jalen Hurts exudes, but also Tua. So, I mean, he's my favorite on this board, and that's not going to change.
Yeah.
If I'm basing it specifically off of prospect today, not what team they go to or anything based off of that, I'm saying Joe Burrow has to beat history in order to be the best prospect. All right? Think about this. As a Heisman Trophy winner, he just won it. Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Johnny Manziel, Robert Griffin III, Cam Newton, Sam Bradford, Tim Tebow, Troy Smith, Matt Leinart, Jason White, Carson Palmer, Eric Crouch, Chris Wanky. I went all the way back to 2000. Tell me a Hall of Famer.
Well,
tell me a perennial All-Pro on that list. Go. You want to look at it? Go ahead. We could look here at Kyler, possibly. We could look at Lamar Jackson, possibly. Now show me the rest. All right, Cam Newton had a level of success short-lived. He is fighting against the historical devalue that these other guys that have won the Heisman before him.
How about
him,
this one, though? Mm. Okay. How about, and that's not a bad point, but how about this one? How about this one? One guy's got an injury history, the other one doesn't.
Okay. He has less, Tua has less belief, Tua has less pressure on him coming into this situation. You know why? Because all of the spotlight is on Burrow. And now you'll see someone who,
okay,
depending
but the
on
question
where he
is,
goes.
Find Tua as good a prospect as Burrow.
I just.
And again, I get prospect, and you take into effect injury history, availability, injury history. Are you built for the NFL?
I believe that Tua will have the better career because just based off of what I've seen, guys in Burrow's position, they do not pan out well for a lot of reasons.
The injury concern doesn't wobble me enough to get off the Tua train.
Right.
I'm staying on that damn train because the dude just shows too much.
I don't need a guy to last until he's 40. If I'm a general manager, I'm looking at the next 5 years. I'm looking
what
at
about the past
a
two or
shorter
three
window.
Years at Alabama. He hasn't been able to stay healthy.
He's also fought through injury. Very important asset to know about a player before he gets in the league. I don't know how many games I played 100%. But I'm going to guess zero.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval ratings for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You know.
I'm proud of myself. I finally mastered Antetokounmpo. All right, who's your big dummy of the day?
Well, good you mastered something. Listen here, man. Big dummy of the day to go to the person and say, I can get you a bucket of what?
Don't do
when
it.
Did I say
Don't
that?
Say that.
Of what?
Don't say it,
when
though.
When did I say I can get a bucket?
You easy? I don't know what you said.
The Colonel's spicy?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
He can get one. He can make one disappear, make one reappear.
Let's talk Giannis. His team lost in the All-Star game last night.
Too easy.
Giannis scored 0 points in the fourth quarter as LeBron's team came back to win it. Even so, the Greek Freak's Bucks have the NBA's best record. Marcellus, are the Bucks a lock to make the NBA Finals?
No, not at all. Boston is there. Philly at the high level, Philly, when they're playing at their peak, especially at home, they're there. Miami with the wild card. I'm sure Toronto overachieving this year. Nah, not a lock, brother.
Yeah, I don't think they're a lock either, although I do kind of think they'll make it, but I don't know. The Greek Freak got exposed. Uncle Jimmy, you heard me. I said the Greek Freak got exposed in last night's All-Star game. Your thoughts?
Long before there was an Uncle Jimmy, there was a Jimmy the Freak. All you gotta do is look up and down the streets of Kansas City, and you'll see how much work I put in to represent that name. Man, you know, hey, look here, boy, they call me the heartbreaker, the big girl taker. You know, so right now I'm gonna have to come to the defense of my fellow freaky brother. Giannis, I teach him a cuckoo. The Greek Freak, as they say.
Forever.
See, Giannis and I, we come from the same stock.
Oh.
You know, we follow the teachings of our fearless leader, the Honorable James Ambrose Johnson Jr.
Who?
James Ambrose Johnson Jr.
Oh, I know who that is.
Who?
Rick James, bitch! The original super freak! The founder of the Church of Freakiology. In the words of our leader, Rick James.
Yeah.
Hey, he said, Giannis is a very kinky brother.
What'd he say?
He's a freaky European brother. Look here, in case y'all don't know, I'm trying to tell y'all, Giannis is a super freak.
Oh.
The boy is super freaky.
Yeah.
Look, and I ain't got no doubt that he's going to follow the true teachings of the Honorable Rick James.
Mm.
You understand? He's going to follow him to grow this postseason. You understand me?
You feel
Look
confident.
Look, the boy can't lose with the stuff that we use. See, he Man. Got the power of the words of James Ambrose Johnson Jr. to lead him.
Rick James. Gotcha.
Right. Hey, ain't that where you got the name from, Darkness?
What?
Ain't that where you got that name Darkness from?
You gave it to me. What you mean? What you talking
Look
about?
Here, man. Giannis, he busting out.
I'm tired of this.
With some serious dunks. He going for MVP. And he ain't concerned about you punks. And y'all know he thrives on the NBA theme song.
What's that?
I'm in love with Mary Jane. It's my main thing. It make me play all right. In other words, I'm trying to tell y'all.
What?
Mary Jane is a hell of a drug. Look here, you asked me earlier. You said who gonna win in the finals with Giannis?
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you right now. Not only is he gonna make it to the finals, when he get there against the Lakers, he gonna walk straight up to LeBron at the half court line.
Clippers.
He gonna look at LeBron and say, LeBron, what did the five fingers say to the face? Shalop! And then he gonna look at LeBron and say, unity! That's what's gonna happen. In other words, Whitlock,
yeah.
Forget your couch! We being real about this.
Forget who?
Your couch.
Oh, my couch. Oh.
Your
couch.
Your
couch.
Shoes and all on your couch.
Shoes and your couch. I've got Giannis as a 76. I actually moved him up from the last time we did him.
Oh, nice.
We did him last time after he bombed in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But all-star, not GOAT status.
Oh, I had to move him up as well. Job performance. He won the MVP, all-time greatest MVP. Even the character he went up. Trolling James Harden, though. I love it.
It makes my heart.
All right, so the internet agrees with both of us. They have him at 58%, an all-star. All right, that's it for us. We'll be back tomorrow.
Turns me on with the love.
No couch.
Get the couch!